Shoes.
Recorded live.
Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles. We're going to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Amen. All right. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And we're talking about the mentor. All right, verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." Amen. All right, and tonight we're talking about the mentor. Amen. And many people proclaim that they are mentors. Some people say that they have been mentored. And then we have others who say that everybody should be mentored. Okay. And tonight we're going to be talking about, you know, the ministry and the role of the mentor. We're going to talk about whether or not it's biblical. Amen. And we're going to answer some serious questions that need to be addressed about mentoring. Amen. We are going to look at these verses here in Matthew where it's saying, "Go ye therefore teach all nations." There's something that we have to understand, that this ministry of teaching is really related to the ministry of mentoring. When you are teaching people, that is also given an avenue of mentoring and impartation. And we're going to get into more of that. First of all, the question is, what is a mentor? Who should be mentored, and is the role scriptural? You know, and I've heard arguments about it, you know, and had people said all kind of things about it, and that is why in our manual we cover the history of mentoring and the word origin and where it actually comes from. Okay, we're going to talk about what does a mentor do and what is the mentee's role or the mentoree, you know, the person being mentored, what is that person's role? Okay. And it's important that we deal with those things because of the simple fact that it needs to be understood that the person that is mentoring has more responsibility than the person who is being mentored. That person that is in the position to receive mentoring is, you know, they're there in that position, you know, to receive and to learn and to be trained. And that mentor has the responsibility of walking upright before the person that, you know, of course, first of all, walking upright before the Lord, but then also walking upright before that person that they are mentoring because they are setting an example. And so it's important, especially in today's society where, you know, as even in the church world, where we don't really have, you know, examples like we used to have, holy examples, you know. Folks are falling by the wayside. People that we have believed in, we believed in their ministries, we believed in the things that, you know, that they were teaching and preaching, you know, and they're falling by the wayside, amen, and it's causing problems with the people who are following them, you know. You have people who are backsliding because the leaders that they were following had backslidden, so because of their discouragement, you know, they end up backsliding. And so even tonight, one of the things that we're going to hit on is, you know, the importance of making sure that your eyes are stayed on Christ. It doesn't matter who it is that is mentoring you. You need to make sure that your eyes are on Jesus. It's wonderful for us to have examples, and it's wonderful for us to be able to look up to one another in the Lord. And even Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Amen. And so we need to be able to follow godly examples. But at the same token, we must maintain an understanding of the central fact that Jesus is the one that we are to keep our eyes stayed on. Okay? So the word mentor, it comes from the name of an individual who bore the same name in an old poem. Okay, the poem was entitled The Odyssey by the Greek poet Homer. And any of you who have studied history, you know that this is Greek. It's a Greek poem, and it's a Homer was a Greek philosopher or whatever during that Greek. I won't say he was a philosopher, but he was a poet during that Greek philosophical period. And so he wrote a poem, and in this poem, the story goes on, and it's about mentor. Who is the tutor, and he's the guardian of Telemachus. Telemachus is the son of the poem's central character. The poem's central character is Odysseus. Okay? The story goes on, and in it, Mentor's job is to raise Telemachus while his father is away fighting the war in Troy. So when Odysseus returns from his journey, you know, from the war, he's been gone 20 years, and when he comes back, he finds that the little child that he left in the hands of Mentor, when he comes back, he finds out that his son has been transformed from a little boy, you know, he's grown up to be a full-grown man who is mature and has learned many life lessons, and is not the child that he left behind. And so coming up under that wise tutelage of Mentor, this is where we get the saying being mentored, or that name, you know, calling it mentoring, okay? This is the history of that word. Okay, so from the story that we just shared, we see that the original and the main idea behind mentoring is tutoring and training. Okay, the dictionary defines mentor in the following terms. It is a wise and trusted advisor. It is a guide. Mentor is a tutor or a counselor. And I want to go back real quick, and you can look in your book. Back to one of our previous lessons in boot camp. The first lesson in boot camp talks about how God has set us in place with spiritual equippers. And we talked about that, having tutors and having governors, those who teach us and train us their style and their character, those who are our drill instructors in the spirit, who lay down the law, who help develop our character, and assign us responsibilities and train us in the ways of the Lord and train us in the things of God. This is the same, you know, it's the same idea, okay? Being a mentor or being mentored is the same idea. I also want to read another definition for the word mentor, and it is one who coaches, instructs, and refines another for a professional career or service, okay? And I love this word, refine, because when we start talking about us being refined, that means that there's some things that have to, you know, we got to get rid of, you know, to make sure that we are in alignment with what God is doing, okay? If somebody is being refined, that means that they're going through a process that is going to bring change, that is going to deal with their character, you know, bring change in their thought process, bring change in their character, bring change in how you handle things, okay? So we need that refining process. It's a burn away. We know that when God starts talking about refining, that is a burning away process. Okay, it is to get rid of all of the imperfections when God refines us. So even still, when we're going through the mentoring process, it is so that God can use those tutors and those governors and those leaders that he is, you know, those spiritual equippers that he has placed in our life in order to improve our imperfections or to work on the things in us, you know, that will bring change in our life, so that we can improve. We can make whatever changes and whatever improvements in our life and get rid of any impurities out of our life. This is what refinement is all about. Okay? So we know, amen, that it's important for us to have mentors in our life. Why is it important? Because we don't know everything on our own. That is why God has allowed, amen, those who have, you know, gone through things, they've gone further than us in the spirit, they have experienced things that we have not experienced, you know, they have prayed through and seen God bring results. So I want to be able to be in the presence of somebody that's going to be able to teach me and train me to follow after God. Because, you know, when we first get saved, we don't know anything about really following the Lord. We know our own way, but it takes us time to learn God's ways. And so you're going to learn God's ways through reading his word and through prayer and seeking him, but we will also learn God's way through mentors and through the people that he places in our life to teach us and to train us. Okay? Some others define mentoring as a relational process in which a mentor who knows or has experienced something like resources, wisdom, information, experience, confidence, insight, and relationships, as well as gaining status. When somebody has gone through and accomplished these things, they share that with the mentee or the mentoree. And I think it's important that we understand that it is, going back to what I just read, it's a relational process. That means that, you know, it's not about just going and sitting in the presence of a person, you know what I'm saying, and then, you know, walking away and saying, okay, I receive what God had for me. When we start talking about relationship, that is developed over time, okay? It's being in the presence of a person, being connected, okay? It's a place of accountability. It's a place where we have mutual interests and we are able to receive, you know, because of us being connected or having dealings with one another. So you can't receive, you know, what you need from a mentor without spending time with that mentor. You can't receive what you need from that mentor without being in the right relationship with that mentor so that you can receive the things that God has given them so that they can share those things with you. Okay? Now, this mentoring takes time. It takes place, you know, at what, you know, over an appropriate time period, okay? And sometimes you might be in a mentoring relationship with somebody maybe for a few months. Sometimes some people are mentored over a span of several years, but the end result is always development and empowerment. That is always the end result, and that should be the end result. Development is when you begin to unfold. That begins, you know, God begins to show, you know, the things that have been hidden, those things that you have had potential to do. He begins to unfold those things and manifest those things. He brings out all of the possibilities that are in you. Something that is in you, he makes it more useful and available for the body of Christ. And I want to say, even some of the things that God mentors us, you know, through others, it's not always for spiritual things. Sometimes it's for natural things. And I believe, too, that is important that we learn how to deal with the natural as well as the spiritual. So having said that, you know, we want to develop and we want to be, you know, in the place where we are empowered, okay? Now, when we start talking about being empowered, we're talking about walking in a place of authority, being enabled. Okay, so mentoring puts you in that place where your gifts begin to come forth and you receive an empowerment and that authority from God. You begin to understand who it is that you are, why God has anointed you to do the things that he's anointed you to do, and your purpose seems to come out more when you've had appropriate mentoring. Okay, now that does not mean that if you have never been mentored, that you're not going to, you know, develop and you're not going to, you know, walk in a place of power and authority. But I will say that being in the place where you are mentored is going to, you know, you'll be more effective because you have the position of being in a shared relationship with someone who can share experiences with you, share wisdom with you, share information with you. Okay, share insight, things that you would probably never know on your own. Okay, and the Bible even tells us that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And so we have to get to the place that we learn how to trust somebody else's opinion, that we learn how to trust what somebody else may be sharing with us, because that insight may be very valuable to us. All right, let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I want to take my time, but at the same time, I want to make sure that we cover everything because, as I said, we have a lot to cover on tonight. All right, Titus chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Look at verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may part be may be ashamed, excuse me, of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And I want to look at the fact that he's saying in verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. A mentor is a pattern. A mentor is an ideal model. Okay, whenever we are making clothes, you usually, unless you're just, you know, a very artistic and gifted seamstress or whatever, you normally need to have a pattern. You begin with a pattern. That pattern tells you, you know, all of the shape of whatever it is that you are creating. It tells you how long it needs to be, how wide it needs to be. It tells you how much material you need to use to make that particular thing that you are attempting to create. And so if we are going to follow somebody, we need to be able to follow somebody who is a pattern of good works, who is that ideal model. When you have a pattern and you're trying to make something, you cut around the pattern, the shape of the pattern, and when you finish cutting around the shape of that pattern, when you get done, you'll have an exact replica of what the pattern is. And so when we are being mentored, it's not because, you know, God is trying to make us a bunch of clones. No, God is going to anoint you because you have your own abilities that he has anointed you with, and your own, he's already made you how he has made you, your own personality and whatever. But receiving from that mentor is going to give you an impartation. It's going to help mold your character, like what we were talking about. In that boot camp segment. It's being in the place where you're learning another style. You're learning from somebody else's character. You're being trained and tutored. You're being, you know, being given laws and instruction. Okay? Your character is being developed. God is cutting you out from the pattern that he has placed you in the midst of so that you can operate in the things that he's called you to. This is the job of the mentor. The mentor comes as that pattern to show you this is how you walk. This is how you carry yourself in God. This is what integrity looks like. This is what anointing should behave itself like. If you are anointed by God, you should behave yourself in a certain manner. And the scripture is telling us that in all things, showing thyself a pattern, the ideal model for good works or of good works, okay? It's a model that's used in making other things. And so if God is going to make us a godly people, he gives us a pattern. Jesus was our initial pattern, and from the pattern that Christ has set, he has cut us out to be a pattern like him so that we can be a pattern to others. So they can look at our life and learn how to carry themselves, learn how to walk upright, learn, you know, how it is that we should behave ourselves as godly people. And likewise, if we are following corrupt leadership, and if that is our pattern, then the other edge of that sword is that, you know, those that are being mentored by corruption are going to, by virtue of what they are following and the table that they're eating at, they're going to give birth to that same spirit of corruption. And so this is why it's important that leaders who are mentoring should be of impeccable character. They should walk upright before God. And even in this chapter, in the second chapter of Titus, this is the admonition that is given to the saints. Okay? And Paul wrote this letter to Titus to admonish the church there, okay, trying to help him to understand what his role was there at, you know, in the new church there. And so even as Paul was instructing Titus in this chapter, this is our instruction, that we would be patterns of good works. Because what you have to understand is, even if you feel like, well, I don't have a bunch of people following me, I don't have nobody, I'm not a pastor, I'm not preaching on a regular basis. I might get to preach every once in a while or whatever the case is, but, you know, you might not feel like you have a frontline position, but you have to understand somebody is still watching your life. And even if you are, you know, not in relationship with a lot of people and have and find yourself imparting and mentoring, you know, actively, there are still people who are being mentored from your lifestyle from afar. There are people in your church who are watching you. There are people on your job. If you work, those people are watching you. So they're looking at the pattern, the model that you have become. The design that you are, they are looking at you to see what kind of person you are. What kind of character do you exude from your life? And so it's important for us, amen, that we make sure that we are walking in alignment with the scripture and that we are doing this, showing in all things that we ourselves are patterns, an ideal model of good works. And how do we do that? In our doctrine, in uncorruptness, in gravity, in sincerity, in sound speech, okay, that cannot be condemned. That means that everything about us needs to line up. Everything about us. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're still talking about the same thing, the responsibilities of mentors. Amen. And here's the thing. When we have people that are following us and we don't live up to God's standard, then what happens is not only are we ourselves led astray, but those who are following us are led astray. And so that blood is on our hands. You know, and I thank God that He has been systematically taking us through this course. And assisting us and helping us, dealing with our character, line upon line, you know. And I know this is not, you know, some of the lessons that we taught are just not deep enough for some folks. They much rather we be on here speaking in tongues for 3 and 4 hours, okay? So we got to get our character straight, because the Bible says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. But we got to get ourselves together so that, because there's a world out there that is looking for godly people. They are looking for direction. The world is looking for a pattern to follow. They are looking. They're looking for hope. They're looking for the answer, and we got the answer. But if our lives are shabby and we don't have ourselves together in God and with one another, then what kind of pattern or example can we possibly be to those who are around us? First Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Amen. This right here, Peter is trying to explain to the saints, to those elders, you know, in this chapter, he's trying to help them to understand, listen, you have to get up under the burden to meet the need for the people of God. If you see that there's a need, that's how God at times births these gifts that are in us, that we see a need and we meet the need. Amen. You see, amen, that there are people in your church that might have needs that they need met. What are you doing to be sure that you feed the flock of God? That's not just the pastor's job. Amen. But we have all been given the Spirit of God so that we can be able to minister to one another. Amen. Remember in the beginning when we first began this course, we began to pour over Ephesians chapter 4, and we know already that that chapter is about those gifts that Christ have left in the body. But the whole idea is that we will all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ for us to grow up. And the only way that we're going to grow up in Him is that we're going to have to be responsible and accountable to one another and for one another. Amen. We're not living on an island by ourselves. So we need to be able, amen, to reach out to each other and be able to meet the needs of those that are around us. Amen. Verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples or examples to the flock. This is what God is requiring for us. And he's not looking for us to be a bunch of taskmasters, but he's looking for us to be examples to those that are on the outside, people who are looking for help, okay? Mentoring is the same thing as discipling. This is why we read Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, because we need to understand that even as Jesus commanded that we would go out and teach all nations and make disciples of men, mentoring allows us the space and the relational, you know, gives us relational access. You know, by way of relationship, we have access to each other, so we are able to mentor by us having relationship with each other. And it doesn't mean that one has to be superior than the other person or whatever to be able to mentor somebody. Amen. We need to just be able to receive from each other, because we know that there are things that each of us have gone through that are valuable lessons. And if what you have gone through is going to help me, you know, is going to prevent me from having to go through unnecessary changes, then I want to be able to learn from you so that I don't have to go through those unnecessary things. Okay? Mentoring is the act of training, equipping, nurturing. Amen. And I wrote training twice. So, you know, that means that, you know, you got to get the idea. It's a lot of training involved here. So it's not just, you know, I go for a training today and then I'm finished. It's like us doing these classes systematically, teaching over 16 weeks. And I know we have had people who began and they fell off, because it takes consistency. You got to be consistent. If you're going to receive from God, you got to be consistent. You can't start and then stop. You have to be consistent. And you have to want this thing bad enough that you're going to go through whatever it is that you got to deal with all of whatever life is throwing at you and all of, you know, the things that may come with our busy schedules and all the rest of that. Whenever we want to receive from God, we got to position ourselves so that we can receive and stay in position. It's all right for us to start strong, but I want to see some people finish strong. Let's finish strong, saints. Let's not just start strong. Let's keep the momentum going. Amen. So it is of vital importance that it be understood that the mentor is a role model, one that is a pattern for others to follow and to learn from. Then I give you some biblical examples of mentors that are given to us throughout the scripture. We know Elijah and Elisha, Jethro and Moses, Moses and Joshua, Moses and Caleb, Samuel and Saul, Jesus to his apostles. He mentored those apostles. Barnabas and Paul, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus, and then Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos. These are all examples of mentoring that have been given to us in the scripture. Okay? Now, we're going on to the next page in this section, all right? And we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Okay? I'm going to try not to move fast here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verse 2. Okay, and this is still mentoring, all right? 2 and 2, 2 Timothy 2 and 2. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So even for us, when we receive something of the Lord, it is up to us to take what we have received and share it with somebody else. When we have received from God, you need to share. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to share what God has given to you. Okay? that responsibility. Simply put, mentoring is the transference of advice, counsel, training, and encouragement to another. And we always talking about, you know, spiritual, you know, the spirit of transference, the power of transference, okay? Transference is the act or the process or the instance of transferring. What are we transferring? We're transferring information, counsel, advice, training, encouragement, okay? Spiritual knowledge. That knowledge that we gain in the spirit gives us, amen, you know, it increases our spiritual weight. Okay? Mentoring is needed in the body of Christ. It is up to each one of us that after the Lord has imparted into our lives, that we take what we have learned and go and teach it to others, that they may benefit, that they may learn, and that they may grow from our experiences. How is anybody ever going to grow if we don't share it? Looking back at this verse here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says the things that, this is Paul, he's giving this information to Timothy. He said the things that I've given to you and that you have heard from me, and you heard me say it to you among many witnesses, I want you to take this same things that I have shared with you and commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He is talking about the power of transferring the word of God and the experiences that he got from being in the presence of Paul. Take that and give it to somebody else. And you know how we do. We get mad at folks, so we don't want to share what God has spoken to us. We want to hold the word. We want to hold back information. We want to hold back something that we know is going to bring encouragement and strength to somebody else. Amen. And so it's up to us to impart what God has given us. And to impart means that you are given from your own store or abundance. You are sharing from out of your own abundance of learning, you know, or things that God have trained you up in the spirit. You are taking that learning, that abundance of learning that you have received from God, and you are pouring it back into somebody else. You are making it known to somebody else, not keeping it to yourself. Amen. Some other verses that you can look at about this are Luke 22 and 32, and then also in 1 Timothy 1 and 18. And I want to look at 1 Timothy 1 and 18. We're already in the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Okay, so you understand that even through mentoring, your mentor, you know, or if you are mentoring people, you have to constantly help them to remember the things that God has spoken over them. The whole time that we have been doing this class, you know, the emphasis is really been on you being all that God has called you to be, not failing God. Not failing in the commission that God has placed upon your life. And you can better do what he's called you to do if we work on these areas that we know are trouble spots for us. Our flesh, our mouth, our attitudes, our moods, our up and down ways. This is why we need that mentoring, that accountability. We need to be able to look at the right pattern, because for so long we've been looking at these crazy patterns on TV and thinking that this is the place that God has called us to attain. Everybody, once upon a time, everybody was talking about they were prophets to the nations. They haven't even evangelized or prophesied to their own local area, but they were prophets to the nation. So here it is. God is looking for us. Amen, to have integrity in our call and to walk upright before him. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And even the world says, association brings on assimilation. If you hang out with dogs, you're going to get fleas. You know all them little sayings like that. The whole idea is that we get around the right people that are going to pour the right thing into you so that you receive, you know, from a right spirit so that you can do what God has called you to do. And for so long, we've had people running behind, and we still got it, folks running behind these shysters, you know, running behind these rip-off artists, con artists, call themselves preachers. These Jezebel spirits, and not just they're not just women, it's some men with a Jezebel spirit, and that we're running behind them instead of following God or looking for a holy pattern. Amen. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Look, we got to get rid of foolishness in our life. We got to get foolish people out of our life. Love you, but I can't hang out with you no more. Okay? So the basic idea behind the verse that we just read is that those that you keep company with are going to determine who you become. If you want to see what you're going to be in God, look around you and see who you're hanging out with. See who your friends are. See who it is that are the people that you feel comfortable around. And if you are feeling comfortable in the company of fools, then that is who you will become. This is what the scripture says. So we have to take stock, take inventory on ourselves. Let's look around us. Are you having a hard time, you know, walking in godliness and holiness? Look around you. Who is influencing you? What pattern have you been cutting yourself out to become? It's inevitable. You can say you're strong. You can say, oh, no, I'm not going to be like thus and so and whatever. But if you are hanging around, the word of God is not going to lie. The word of God is truth. It's not just true. It is truth. So if you want to be wise, you need to get around some wise folks. If you want to walk in the power of God, then you need to be around some praying folks, some folks who love God, who have a right relationship with God, some people who are not, you know what I'm saying, not a bunch of shysters and not a bunch of, you know, crooked preachers. They're not phony. You know, they're not double-minded. These are the people you got to get away from because that's your future if that's what you're hanging out with. Is your best friend a fornicator? Then that's what you're going to become. Because if you are, this is what your companion is, that spirit is not going to leave you alone just because you feel like you're saved. Oh, no, I'm trying to win her to Christ. At some point, somebody's going to win. If you're not winning her, she's going to end up winning you. So I'm not telling you that you can't try to get in a relationship with somebody so that you can minister to them and bring them to Christ. But what I'm saying to you is that there has to be another level of relationship. There has to be a level of relationship where you are receiving impartation. That person that you're trying to minister to should not be your ace boom coon. That should not be the person who you're looking to for advice and godly instruction. And unfortunately, there are people who are saved, they love God, but for some reason, they take advice from ungodly people. Okay? So enough on that point. Hallelujah. But we got to deal with that fact. Okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Okay. It says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." I'm telling you, it's something about being in the company of other prophets. It's something about being in the company of apostles. It's something about being in the presence of other people who love God and seek God and have a heart for Him. There is something that you get in those relationships that you don't get by hanging out with folks who don't really want God. You know, and you want that to rub off on you, that their love for God will rub off on you, that their passion and their zeal for the things of God will would rub off on you, and that you would, you know, you would be able to receive that transference from them. Okay? We already talked about 1 Peter 5 and 3. Okay? So it's important that you, as a mentor, don't aim to control those that you mentor. And I know that, you know, if you're not mentoring now, there is coming a time where God is going to use you to mentor other people. And if you are already mentoring people, you have to remember, your aim is not to control them. That's not what God is putting you in their life for. Your goal is to be a sounding board, to be an advisor, somebody who is able to take the low road, even after you have given whatever advice, you know, that you feel is the right advice, and it's sound and it's holy. You know, you give them whatever your take is, and then you back off and let them make the decision. That's what a good mentor does. You're not trying to make them follow your instruction, because after all, they're not going to learn the lessons if they don't, you know what I'm saying, make the decisions on their own. So you don't want to try to control everything that they're doing. You want to be able to speak into their lives and be able to, you know, give them wisdom, but at the same token, allow them to make their own decisions, okay? Jealousy and competition are also vices that need to be avoided. You know, there are times where you may be mentoring more than one person, and one may feel like they are competing for your attention and your time or whatever, and so you're going to have to learn how to diffuse those situations. Okay? You're going to have to learn how to use wisdom when dealing with them, even if that means that you may have to set aside time to go spend with this one, and then go set aside time to go spend with that one, and then you can come back together as a group, okay? But you want to be able to use wisdom so that there's no jealousy, so that there's no competition, and so that they understand that they each have their place. And if you are experiencing that with someone who is mentoring you, then you have to understand that you have your place that God has given you in the life of that person who's mentoring you. And so you just have to, you know, if you need for that person to be able to spend some one-on-one time with you, then you let them know so that they can take the time to, you know, impart into you the way that you need. Okay? Allow those that you mentor to make their own decisions, knowing that your role is not to make the choice for them, but you give them your input and then allow them to hear from God. I said allow them to hear from God, hallelujah, for themselves, and then they have to learn from their own choices, learn from their own mistakes, okay? Know that it is okay for you to have disagreements. It's okay for them to, you know, if you're a mentor or you are mentoring somebody, don't think that everything that you say to them has to be okay, okay, okay. Yes to everything. There are going to be times where you disagree. Remember, you're in relationship. And in any relationship, you never see eye to eye on 100% of the issues. So there will be times where you don't see eye to eye. But that does not mean that, you know what I'm saying, that you throw the whole entire relationship away. You persevere through your disagreements. It's okay to disagree. Okay? I mean, it's hard to ask this question in today's society, but, you know, just over one argument, you don't go and get a divorce just because you and your husband may have disagreed about whether or not to cook steak and potatoes or steak and french fries or steak and rice or whatever. You don't divorce over a disagreement. You don't just leave, you know, from being, you know, in a family. You know, sometimes you get together with your family, and I know sometimes our family cut up. Let's pray for them. Hallelujah. But, you know, you don't just throw your family away because you don't see eye to eye on every issue. You're not going to always see eye to eye. You know, and here's the thing. I know that it's like really, really simple what I'm saying, but these are the things that we need to bear in mind, because when we get in a relationship, relationships are sometimes, you know, they're hard to deal with sometimes. Being in a relationship with people is not always easy. And so because of that, you got to learn how to use wisdom when you're dealing with people. You know, relationships are sometimes difficult, you know, because everybody has different personalities. We have different ways of handling things. So you don't just kick each other, you know, out the boat because of the simple fact that you have a disagreement. Work your way through it. No one has to have all the right answers. If you're mentoring somebody, they're going to make mistakes. They're not going to always follow your advice. You can give them your advice, but that does not mean that they're always going to follow it. Okay? And then likewise, if you're in a relationship with someone who's mentoring you, that does not mean that you always have to agree with them. If I'm your mentor, I want to hear some feedback from you. It doesn't always mean that you're going to agree with absolutely everything I say, but then there has to be a difference, too, if, you know, if I'm saying something to you and this is the right thing, then I have to allow you to make your own decision. I have to let you do that. Or else it just means that I'm controlling you. And I'm doing everything for you. And then you're not going to really learn the lessons because I'm in the way of you really receiving what you need to receive. You do not need to have, and we say this in the manual, you don't need to have a Walmart mentality. What in the world does that mean? That means that, you know, you can go to the Walmart and go grocery shopping. You can get your car fixed. You can go to the pharmacy. You can go and buy clothes. You can get household goods. Everything you need is at Walmart. Please don't have a Walmart mentality because none of us has everything that somebody needs. We may have a part of it, but we don't have it all. And so we have to remember that. Don't take on the mentality that you got it all. Don't take on the mentality that, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like you, the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of God be the Spirit of God in somebody else's life. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us into all truth. Not Fran. Fran can't lead you and guide you into all truth. I can give you some pointers, but my name is not Holy Spirit. So we need to have the right mentality, understanding our limitations. That's really what I want to say. Understanding what our limitations are. Understanding, you know, what is that point where you just say, okay, I've done my part, God, and now I'm going to put this in your hands and let you speak to them, let you minister through that person or to that person so that they can become all that you want them to become. Now, remember, we were reading in one of the previous verses about not lording over God's heritage. Not cracking the whip, basically. Not cracking the whip over people's heads. They gotta be able to make decisions on their own. Okay? The two most needed qualities in a person that is desiring mentoring are a teachable spirit and self-motivation. Without this combination, there's a good chance that the time spent mentoring will be very ineffective. Why does a person who wants to be mentored need to have a teachable spirit? Well, you got to be willing to learn. You got to be willing to take correction and constructive criticism. You got to be able to admit that you don't know it all, that somebody else actually might have the answer for you. You have to be willing to sit and listen to somebody else. You know, even though you might feel like your name is Ask Jeeves, you know, that used to be a site online, Ask Jeeves, now it's just Ask.com, you know, your name is not Ask.com, okay? You need to learn how to admit that you don't know it all. None of us knows everything about any one particular subject. We may have a vast array of knowledge about it, but we don't know everything. And so we fool ourselves if we think we know everything. I have studied the prophetic, and I know quite a bit about it, but I don't know everything. I would be fooling myself if I said to myself that I knew everything. If I told you that I knew everything about the prophetic, I would be lying. I would be lying because the Bible tells us that there are higher heights and there are deeper depths in God. So if there are higher heights and there's a deeper depth, that means that there's a place I haven't even reached yet. know, and I know that was a faux pas because a lot of people, especially preachers, don't want to admit that. But you know what? I'm telling you, there is no, we're not wearing no facades. We're not playing no games. Amen. This is reality. I can't give what I don't have. There's no sense in me trying. And this is why we got to have a right, you know, understanding of ourselves. You can't mentor people if you're not, you know, in touch with your own reality, with your own limitations, with who you are and with who you're not, with what you know and what you don't know. You have to be honest with yourself and be willing to be honest with others. And not just willing to be honest with others, but be willing to be transparent. Okay? Willing to be transparent. It's important that we do that. Okay? Why is self-motivation important? Because there are times that you as a person, you know, you're going to have to speak over your own self. You're going to have to get, you know, be able to get your own self going, motivating yourself, okay? You need to be in a place where you don't need a babysitter. You need to, after you have received your period of mentoring, you know, and impartation and transference of the spirit, you need to be able to live without a pacifier, without having to have your diaper changed every hour on the hour. Hallelujah. We got to get to that place. It's important that we do this. We got to grow up. Self-motivation is important. You got to be able to speak to yourself and tell yourself the truth. You got to be able to pat yourself on the back sometimes and encourage yourself. David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. It's important that you be able to do this. Okay? Let's see, where are we now? Okay, so it's good that you have this teachable spirit and self-motivation, okay? All right, as a mentor, those are the most desiring attributes that you should have if you're going to mentor somebody. You need to be a good role model. We talked about that already. You need to maintain godly standards. Okay, you cannot teach anybody about godliness if you're not godly. If you're still smoking and drinking and fornicating, you're not a good role model. Please sit down and wait until God finishes delivering you, and then you can mentor. Okay, being a good listener. There are times where, you know, you have to learn how to just listen. People sometimes don't want advice. Sometimes they just want somebody to listen to, you know, to listen to them. Sometimes, you know, they just want somebody to be able to share with them, you know, the things that they want, you know, that they need to hear. It's not always about giving advice. Sometimes it's just about being a good listener, you know, just being there to be supportive. And when you're in relationship with people, you'll be able to tell when it's a good time to, you know, give advice and when is a good time to really, you know, give a good listening ear. Okay? You need to also possess wisdom. Okay? Wisdom beyond what you can see in the situation that the person may be going through at the time. Okay? Wisdom comes from going through. Wisdom comes from being in the presence of God and learning how to follow God's instructions. And one of the things that's the most basic and one of the most important characteristics that a mentor has to have, and I don't know why I didn't write it, but it's in here, and it should be in here, rather, I should say. You know, one of the most important things is that a mentor should be patient. And I know that's like cussing for some of us, because patience is hard, okay? The Bible tells us that tribulation worketh patience. So that means you cannot get patience unless you go through. And sometimes that means being patient with people means that you have to go through with them in order to have patience with them. And I know that that's not like, you know, ooh, yay, that's good news. I know that's not something that's desirable, but it's necessary. It is necessary. Okay, now, let's talk about the problems that we have in the church with mentoring. Okay, we're almost done. Some other problems we have in the church with mentoring. There are many problems in the church as it relates to mentoring, and we're going to deal with five. Five problems that we deal with in the church. Number one, okay, number one, is religious leaders keep you dependent upon them. A true father or mother in the spirit with the heart of God desires that you become greater than themselves. True men and women of God teach you to be dependent on God. Now remember, this is what I was saying to you earlier, is that you've got to keep your eyes on Christ. It's wonderful for us to have people who minister to us and pour into our lives. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. That's outstanding. But the only person that we should revere, the only one who deserves our reverence and awe, is Jesus. Okay? That does not mean that you disregard your leaders. It does not mean that you cannot be grateful and thankful for them. No, everybody loves to be appreciated. I love for people to show me that they appreciate me. I mean, I'm not made of wood. You know, I understand that. But, okay, there is a limitation that we need to make sure that we don't go over those lines so that we are not in the place of worshiping people. Okay? It's important that we not give, you know, we don't deify people, make them gods. It's important that we are mindful of that, okay? All right, number two, religious leaders sometimes become threatened when you become successful. Your success should be their goal. When you do better than your mentor, they have been successful in their role in your life. Now, let's look at John, and I'm going to share something with you. Let's look at John chapter 14. I want to tell you something while we're looking for that. I want to tell you something about spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. Okay. John 14. All right, and we're going to start at verse 6. But I want to tell you something real quick about spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, okay? The role of a mother and a father in the spirit, okay? They're not just coming to teach you or to just give you information. Okay, a spiritual mother and a spiritual father, you know, are not just disseminating information, okay? They are coming to bring correction. And when I say correction, I don't mean rebuke. I'm talking about they're coming to expel error. They're getting error out of the church, out of our thinking, out of our belief systems, okay? They are pouring out the truth so that you can receive God's truth and walk in it, okay? A father and a mother have the power to impart into your life so that you can, you know, bear seed, so that you can carry this thing that God has put in you and be able to birth it out, okay? A mother and a father in the spirit will make sure that all of your spiritual needs are met. Now, see, you got mentors on one level, and then on another level, you have mothers and fathers in the spirit. Okay? And a mother or a father in the spirit is going to make sure that your spiritual needs, just like your natural parents, make sure that your natural needs are met. A mother and a father make sure that your spiritual needs are met. Why do they do that? Because the whole goal is your maturity. Okay? The whole goal, your spiritual parents, their goal is your maturity. Their goal is to see you walk in the fullness of the things that God has called you to. The reason that you are saved is not just for you to be delivered from hell. Okay? The reason that you are saved is because God has made you a kingdom citizen. And there is a message from the kingdom that you have got to carry. And God has given us spiritual mothers and fathers who help us and equip us. Okay? And bring us to full maturity so that we can carry out the mandate that God has given us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. I love that he didn't just say, I'm true. Amen. He said, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And see, that's powerful right there, that Jesus is saying that if you have seen him, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That is an awesome revelation. And it should be that way with us, that if the world sees us, they should see Christ. That's the way it should be. Amen. Let's keep reading. Verse 8 says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? But he that saith, excuse me, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now let's look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. See, but I was just reading to you out of our manual about, number one, it says religious leaders keep you dependent upon them. A true father or mother in the spirit with the heart of God desires that you become greater than themselves. True men and women of God teach you to depend on God. Why do you need to depend on God? Because what, even this right here, what I'm doing right here, you should leave when you finish with this course. God should have imparted into you and have spoken some things to you in such a way that you, when you get finished with this, you are ready for a greater level of a work that God has called you to. Okay? So you got to understand, Jesus is saying that if you believe on me, the works that I'm doing, you're going to do these works, but not just that. He said, you're going to do greater works than what I'm doing. Your mother and father in the spirit should expect greater than you. Amen. Every generation should be greater. And this is why we got to walk in integrity and in honesty and have a prayer life and know who God is and read our Bibles. This is why that's important. Why? Because we want to give birth to godly seed who do more than what we do. Amen. I don't want my natural children to just graduate from high school and go to college. I want them to be able to be great men and women of God. I want them to be able to pioneer, amen, things in the spirit realm. And I want them to do greater than what I have ever done. That's the law of succession in the spirit. That's the way that it should be. And if you want to see successful ministry, that is successful ministry. Successful ministry is not 700,000 members of a church. Successful ministry is sons and daughters, you know, multiplying the work of God and doing greater works than what they have received, greater works than what their leaders have done. That is successful ministry. This class, amen, is successful if when you leave from this class, you go out and make disciples of men and you go and teach them what God has given you and you do greater than what I have done in this class. God should be speaking to you now, or he should have been speaking to you as you've been going through this class and speaking to you about what you need to be doing, the next step for you to be walking into. One, you get finished with this, the next level is that. You should be, you should have, that's the level you should be on right now. You shouldn't just be going from Thursday to Thursday to Thursday. What you going to do when we get to the last class? Amen. This can't just be something for you to come together and just say, oh, yeah, and I got a certificate and I did school of prophets. This is about impartation. This is about pushing you to that next place. This is about telling you that there is a mandate on your life and you got to fulfill it. That's the will of God. That's what God has ordained for you. Jesus said greater works. There's a greater. If he's the pattern, he's the ultimate pattern. He's the pattern that we are following. And then he creates us to be a pattern of him. He was a pattern of the Father. We are a pattern of Jesus. And so therefore we should be able to take what he has given us and others' lives be transformed because of the pattern that we have become in the earth. That is spiritual success. That is the will of God. That is the role that true mothers and fathers in the spirit, that's the role that they walk in. That's what they do. So it's one thing, amen, you know, and we kind of shifted gears. It's going from mentor to mother and father. Going from, you know, from mentor to spiritual mother and father. That's the will of God. Because it's inevitable. Why am I saying that? Because when you begin to impart into the lives of others, it's inevitable you're going to birth sons and daughters. You can't help it. You can't help it. Isn't that funny how, and I mean, when I say funny, I mean it's irony, you know. It's funny how people fornicate, then they get pregnant and say, I don't know how I got pregnant. I don't understand it. Well, you was doing what it took to have a baby. Likewise, if you are doing what it takes to give birth to seed in the spirit, you can't help but birth seed in the spirit. Okay? So that's the idea. All right, number three, hallelujah, we're almost done. Religious leaders will cut you off if you leave them. A true father or a mother will continue to love and support you and bless your direction as long as you are in alignment with God. Even if they don't agree with everything you do, the love is still evident. That's how you know that you got the right one. Okay. Religious folks who just want you to be a part of their church. I just want you to be a member at my church. That mentality right there, that's not a real mother. That's not a real father. Okay? It's not. A real mother or father, I don't care where you are. Where if you leave the ministry and you go someplace else, it doesn't change your parenthood. I don't care if I move to East Jibip, my father's name is still Charles Mitchell. Nicole Mitchell is still my mother. Okay? It doesn't change. And so that's the way that it should be. There's a permanence. Okay? There's a permanence in the spirit. You know, you don't lose your relationship because you moved to the next phase of your ministry. You don't lose relationship. You shouldn't anyway. But when we're trying to lord over God's heritage, we fall in and out of relationships. When we're trying to control what everybody is doing instead of imparting into them and looking for them to do what John 14 says and do those greater works, when that happens, okay, when that happens, what we end up doing is we end up just, you know, being stagnant in our walk. And that's a problem. Let's look at number four. Number four says, religious leaders want to control every aspect of your life. There is no leeway to grow and learn. They should not be threatened by your other relationships. Okay? They shouldn't be threatened by your other relationships. It's no reason for you, if you're a spiritual mother to somebody, or if you are a mentor to somebody, don't be jealous because they have other relationships with other people. Okay? We don't live on Mars. We don't live on the moon by ourselves. So you have to understand that, you know, we don't want the Walmart mentality, remember? Everything that they need is not just in you. There are other people that God has ordained for them to be able to receive from. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about somebody who is just, you know, unstable spiritually and is just all over the place. I'm not talking about that. But if you have somebody who is stable, you know, and they're in relationships with other people, hey, be secure in who God called you to be. There's no reason for you to lord over them like that. Amen. Number five, hallelujah. Religious leaders don't see your potential. They are focused only on where you are right now and can't see past where you are. A true father and mother will always see your potential. And I want to say from an experience that I had several years ago, I had someone who was overseer of mine. And, you know, and I asked at one point, you know, what is it that you want from me? And she said to me she wanted me to be her daughter. Spiritual, you know, her spiritual daughter. And I had to tell her that's impossible. Because, first of all, you have to know, if somebody is your mother, when you look at your children, any of you who have children, when you look at your children, can't you see their potential? You may not be able to see everything that God is going to make them. But at some point, God should be speaking to you about your children and showing you the direction that they're going in. At some point, you should be able to see the potential that's in them, even when they make dumb mistakes. You know, even when they're not walking 100% according to what you want them to walk in, you should still be able to see their potential. And so, you know, long story short, I had to explain, you know, that's not a relationship. You know, sometimes we want something that's just not the will of God. Because one of the things that the Lord opened up and helped me to see long before I even started doing this class was that my mother or my father in the spirit know who I'm supposed to be or know what direction I'm going in and who God has called me to be. And so it should be no struggle. My mother is not going to fight me. My father in the spirit is not going to fight me to try to keep me from accomplishing what God has called me to do, because they understand that there's, you know, that God has called me to do this thing. And so they're going to work with what God has put in me. And remember, we talked about not trying to control everything. Even when you're mentoring people, there's times where you have to just let go and let them make their decisions, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. That is how learning takes place. That is how learning takes place. Okay? So the things that we have shared does not mean that every time you are challenged to change or your motives or your actions are questioned or that you're asked about your direction, that your mentor or your spiritual parents are wrong. It does not mean that. You need to learn how to be open. Okay? And use the things that we just discussed. Use them as guidelines, not as a rule. Okay? This is not the Ten Commandments. Okay, it's not the five commandments. These are just guidelines to help you along so that you can refer back to them and say, okay, maybe I can try to work with this. Okay? So they're just guidelines to ensure that you don't miss what God has in store for you, your mentor. Don't give up on your relationships. Okay? Sometimes they might be rocky. Sometimes you might not, you know, love absolutely everything about the person. No, but be still and listen to hear what God has for you through that individual so that you don't miss what God has that's in their belly for you, okay? So don't give up on your relationships just because you have a disagreement, okay? Misunderstandings, they happen. Disagreements, they happen. But these things can be the catalyst for the birth of a great relationship. But you got to see farther than your minor problems. Got to be able to see farther than that, okay? See beyond that. Anything that's worth fighting for, anything that's worth having is worth fighting for, and it's worth working to perfect it. Relationships take work. Got to work on it. Okay? The last thing we're going to talk about tonight is about catching the vision. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 16. And this right here is going to finish out this section right here. We're about done. I know it's been lengthy tonight. Hang in there. All right? This will be the end of Prophetic Relationships 1. All right? We're talking about now catching the vision. Luke chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 10. We'll look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Verse 12. "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And I want to look first at verse 10. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Now, I'm going to finish the verse, but I want to look at that. A lot of times, especially if you're in church, your pastor may give you menial jobs just so that he can see where you are, because he knows that this is a character trait that you cannot deny. Jesus identified it. We're building leaders and doing leadership training. This is one of the things that we look for. Can you follow, can you follow through and do a simple task? Just one simple task. The least little things. It may not be a big old thing, but a little thing. "He that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much." We already know that you're going to be faithful over the big things if you are faithful over the small. This is the beginning of training and identifying true leaders in the midst. When you're in church or if you are a pastor, this is the way you have to be able to identify. Can they handle the little things? Prophet, can you handle the little thing? You want God to give you the big thing, but can you handle the little thing? Do you follow simple instructions? Or does somebody have to keep coming back and reminding you of what you were supposed to do last week, last month? Don't expect for God to promote you if you're not following, amen, and being faithful in that which is least. The rest of the verse says, "And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Amen. You ever hear people and they start talking about, first of all, they shouldn't be gambling in the first place. But you ever hear people when they start talking about, "I win the lottery, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." And I've heard church folks talk about, "I'm going to bless my church," and da-da-da-da. And, that baffles me because, sometimes these people have regular jobs and can't tithe on a regular basis off of their regular income. Okay, they can't tithe like they're supposed to, or don't want, won't give to the work of the ministry on a regular basis. If you can't give out of your income that you already have, what makes you think that when you get $50 million, you're going to give God any money? That money going to be gone. And it's in the Bible. I don't even have to prophesy. It's in the scripture. "He that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also in much." Okay? So during the beginning of the mentoring process, it is key to know that you are in a season of waiting on the Lord, where you will have to learn how to catch the vision of another man. Okay? A lot of times, people are mentored. We use armor bearing as a mentoring tool. The purpose of armor bearers, I don't know what other people do, but at our church, armor bearers, the responsibility or the purpose, I should say, of the armor bearers is to learn. You're working with your leaders so that you can learn how to behave yourself wisely, You know, you are engaging in ministry, and there are times where you will be able to receive impartation through your relationship. It's not about carrying nobody's Bible. It's not about bringing nobody a glass of water. It is about being in the position to learn to catch the vision of another man, because you're in training. Okay? It's a season of sowing. Where you are possibly a member of a church, or you're working while you wait for the development and the fruition of your own ministry. It is during this period that you must practice faithfulness and steadfastness. Faithfulness and steadfastness. Okay? Faithfulness. That's a hard thing. You don't, you know, for whatever reason, people are not faithful like they used to be. Okay? Faithfulness and steadfastness. And the ability to give your all to something that you yourself didn't give birth to. And that's a hard thing, because a lot of times we'll give our all to something that's ours. But to pay attention to something that, you know, is somebody else's, well, now that's another story. Okay? All right, if you can endure and be and give your best in this season, in your season of training, if you can be and give your best during that time, you will graduate to the place where God can open doors for your personal ministry and give you a vision for what he has called you to do. But you got to first be faithful over what God has placed you in right now. And that's usually hard. You got to be faithful over what God has placed you in right now. The rest of the verse says, if therefore, verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Who's going to give you something else if you haven't been faithful? You must have a heart to serve because you want to serve, not because you have to serve. You must have a desire to serve and give yourself to others, whether you are paid or not. This is the honorarium, you know, society. We don't go nowhere unless we get paid. And the last sentence that we wrote here in the manual says, bear in mind that we do not serve because we get paid. We get paid because we serve. God blesses you because you obey him. You don't obey God just because he blesses you. And when I say get paid, I don't mean, oh, we finna get paid. I don't mean like that. I mean in the sense of the workman is worthy of his hire, whatever it is. If somebody prays for you, you can receive that as pay for, you know, doing something. Prayer. Thank God for prayer. I'm not talking about setting no price and whatever. You know, we're going to deal with that in the last class. Okay, and I do have a typo in here. It should be divine impartation comes from association. If you want to be anointed, get a prayer life and hang out with those that you admire in the spirit. Don't hang out with people who don't have no prayer life. Don't hang out with folks who don't have no right relationship with God. Don't hang out with folks, you know, that's wishy-washy in the spirit. Don't do that. Amen. Let's line ourselves up so that we can be the mentors that God has called us to be. And if this is your period of going through mentoring, let's pray that God would allow us to have a spirit of faithfulness and steadfastness so that we hold on to what he has called us to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this teaching on tonight. I pray, God, that your people were encouraged tonight. I pray, Father, that everything that we have heard, God, and everything that has been spoken, Lord God, that is falling on good ground, and that, God, it would abide with us, that we would not lose one word in the name of Jesus. I pray that you continue to strengthen and encourage us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are transforming our lives and you are giving us the things that we need so that we can be who you called us to be. I thank you right now. Speak strength to your people right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and